Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
His mercy, his loving kindness, his compassions that fail not. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. When I think back on all that he's brought me through, my soul says, yes, Lord. Yes to your will, yes to your way. We say, thank you, Lord. Look where the Lord has brought me. It's brought me such a long ways, and I'm eternally grateful for how he has done it and the fact that he did it. You know, we are so grateful. Didn't have to be kind, didn't have to be compassionate, but in spite of, we bless his holy and righteous name. We exalt him in the earth for his loving kindness, for his compassions that fail not, for his faithfulness, for his goodness and his mercy that endureth, that has endured. Amen. So we bless the Lord today, and we tell him thank you. If we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't praise him enough. We couldn't exalt him enough for all that he does for us. Amen. We bless his holy and righteous name. How excellent is his name in all the earth. If we search all of the heavens, we search the earth below, can't find nobody. Can't find nobody that would replace him. You know, can't find nobody who's even equal to him. So we bless him, church. We bless his holy and righteous name. How excellent is the Lord. How excellent is the Lord. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you again. I'm thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to be here, to be able to stand before you and to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Truly, we count it an honor and a privilege. At any time, in any given place or day, we count it an honor and a privilege to be able to do this. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're still here Our ministry tonight is still on the end time. We're still preaching about from Matthew 24, the end time, the sign of his coming, and an end of the age. A sign of his coming and an end of the age. You know, this is what basically Matthew chapter 24 is about. You know, disciples came to him privately on the Mount of Olives, and as they sat there, you know, they asked him, "Give us a sign of your coming, Jesus, and the end of this age." Of course, everything that he said here in Matthew 24 explains the sign of his coming and an end of the age. When we ministered to you the last time, we were in the middle of the week. Yeah, we want to go back there and pick it up again. Matthew 24. We're going to start reading here at Matthew 24 and verse 15. The middle of the week, 3.5 years into the tribulation. You know, 3.5 years. The tribulation, again, lasts for some 7 years. Let us go into prayer. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we come before your throne of grace. We come before your throne of mercy. We lift up our hands as a sign of surrender unto you, Lord, and we bless your holy and righteous name. Father, we ask for a spirit now that's worthy to come into your very presence. We ask that you wash us in your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness is our prayer. Oh God, we ask for the greatest teacher, that is, the Holy Ghost, the very spirit of truth. We ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us. Bring back to our remembrance all things pertaining to this necessary message tonight. We ask us, Lord, to speak, Lord. We desire to hear what you have to say. Now we ask, Lord God, that you bless us. Bless us, Lord, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept. We take authority over every hindering spirit. And we bind it up. And we render helpless over these service. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, speak to our hearts, words of eternal life. We desire to hear what you have to say. Do it now, Lord. Do it for your name's sake. Bless us, Lord, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept is our prayer. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. The end time, sign of your coming, and an end of the age. The last time we were with you, we were ministering from the middle of the week. Of course, 3.5 years into the tribulation, we have what is called the middle of the week. At this place, we're in the sixth seal, according to the book of Revelation. And the sixth seal is open. We're in the middle of the week. There's several things that happen in the middle of the week. Under the fifth seal, of course, before the martyred saints, you know, were given robes and they were told to wait, for there need be others that had to be martyred as well, killed as well. The martyred saints are those people who refuse the mark of the beast or to bow down to the image of the beast. And because of this, they were killed for their testimony. You know, God has always got a plan. You know, God has always, always has a plan. The martyred saints are given a white robe, and you know, they wanted God to revenge them, but they were told to wait, that there were others too that needed to be to die for their testimony. The middle of the week. In the middle of the week, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, we see also the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Jesus said, when you see this, he told them to flee, to leave everything, and come down off of the house, don't return back into the house, but to flee. God has a place prepared for the man-child or the sun-cloth woman, 3.5 years. Again, the middle of the week. Let's go to the reading of the word. Matthew 24, we're going to start at verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and warn to them that are with child, to them that gave suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Amen. We thank God for the reading of his word. We thank God for the hearers of his word. The abomination, desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. You know, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. Again, the tribulation, you know, although the whole world experienced the tribulation, you know, those people that are left here, you know, the church is raptured at the beginning of the week, you know, except he who now will let, you know, until the church is taken out of the way, the man of sin cannot be revealed. Because of the authority that the church has here on the earth, the church has to be removed from the world, from the earth. So there's a rapture. The Lord himself shall descend in the cloud with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Bible says, we which are alive and remain shall be, the dead shall be caught up first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This is called the rapture. The church, the bride of Christ, are removed from the earth, and being removed, now the man of sin, the lawless one, the son of perdition, the little horn. These are some of the names that are given to the Antichrist or the seed of Satan. You know, now that the church is removed from the earth, he can, now he who will let until the church is taken out of the way, then he can be revealed. The one world order, which is already in place, the system that puts the Antichrist in position, is already in place. The seal of the Illuminati, or the one world order, the one world banking system, the one world religion, the one world government, all of these systems are in place to empower the man of sin. 3.5 years, of course, the Antichrist is here, demonstrating all kinds of powers and signs and lying wonders. You know, of course, sitting in the temple, declaring himself to be God, calling himself God, you know, calling down fire from the heavens, you know, doing all kinds of witchcraft, sorcery, manipulating reality for the sake of, like anything else, the Jews never received Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So the whole purpose of all of this is so that they might believe the lie and be damned. You know, as opposed to, you know, believing the truth, you know, believing that Jesus Christ was Lord, they refused to accept him as the Messiah because of his message. They were concerned about a warrior like David, believed them in warfare against the Roman Empire. But Jesus didn't come here to be King of Kings. At that period, he came here to die for the sins of the world, become the Savior of the world. So he died so that many could live. Amen? This judgment, 7.5 years of tribulation, the whole world experienced this. But in actuality, this is really a judgment that God has sent to Israel for their refusal to believe the truth. Here it is, God is again using, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his loving kindness, extending his love, as opposed to, like anything else, making a door, a way of escape. And at this point and at this juncture, you know, this is another way of giving them an escape, a way to make it in. Of course, the church is the bride. You know, the supper feast is already prepared. When he came, there were all kinds of excuses. You know, all kinds of excuses. This is the reason why he told the servant to go out into the streets and highways and byways and compel them to come in. You know, the supper feast. There was room at the table. We know that he's married to the church. The church is his bride. The church is taken up. Of course, they're given crowns, and they receive crowns for the various works. Revelation chapter 4, you know, they're in heaven. 24 elders are there. The four beasts are there. With the crowns, they all bow down, the elders, the 24 elders, they bow down and they cast the crowns at God's feet. He's, you know, sitting on his throne. You know, of course, who is worthy to receive glory? Who is worthy to receive honor? The reality of it all is, it all belongs to God. He's doing everything. He designed everything. Because he exists, because of his purpose in us, because of his will for our life, you know, we are able to dine and to sit at the table, to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. You know, everything is prepared. Everything has been done. You know, he's doing everything. Every movement, every you know, just think about it. It's in him that we live, that we move, and we have our being. So the reality of it all is, you know, he's the one who's doing it. So he made a way for us, a way of escape. So we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. The church is raptured. The man of sin is revealed. 70 weeks were determined upon the people to make an end of sin. And, of course, the crown, 70 weeks. Daniel chapter 9. Let's go to. When ye therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Amen. The treaty is broken. After 3.5 years, the Antichrist, the treaty that was signed for safety, for peace, is broken. The sacrifices and the oblation cease. Of course, there's desecration. The temple is desecrated. And, of course, like anything else, the Antichrist, again, breaks the treaty. This is the abomination and the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Jesus said to them, when you see this, which is 3.5 years into the tribulation, or after the fifth seal, or the sixth seal is opened, the middle of the week, he told them to flee. The man child, or the sun cloth woman, this is a symbol of Israel. But God has prepared a place for the man child. You know, 3.5 years he designed a place called Petra, where she's kept for 3.5 years. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, start at verse 1. Verse 2. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The man child, the sun cloth woman. She's told to flee, and God gives her grace. The dragon comes after her, and God gives her grace. And allows her to make it through to the place where he has prepared a place for them, 3.5 years. He says, when you see this, flee. And there are things that he prayed for. He prayed that their flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. You know, Orthodox Jews, he prayed that they be not with suck, that they be not with child. The hardship of having to go through the desert and go through places with children. And if there was such a thing as the Sabbath, the tribulation, you know, this time happening on the Sabbath, they would not travel but so far. You know, 3 miles, I believe, they're only allowed to travel on the Sabbath. So, you know, God prayed that it be not on the Sabbath. You know, the sad thing about this, again, this is a judgment that the whole world experienced. And, you know, we're talking about war. We're talking about famine. We're talking about hunger, you know, poverty. I mean, people are going to be faced with death. You know, if you refuse the mark of the beast, you know, if you refuse to bow down to the image of the beast, people are killed because they refuse to do this in order to buy and sell during the tribulation. You have to be a part of the one world order, the part of the system, the identification, the system that they use to identify you, this chip or whatever it is, the system that goes into the skin, where they're able to scan you and identify who you are and where you are. In order to be able to buy and sell, you must have the mark of the beast. And refusing the mark, you will kill for your testimony. We're not talking about a few people. We're talking about millions of people dying because they refused to receive the mark of the beast. Millions will die for their testimony. You know, just think about it. In the middle of the week, under the sixth seal, John saw a number that no man could number that came out of the great tribulation. These are they that died for their testimony. We're talking about millions of people that died because of refusing to receive the mark of the beast. And this is God's way of giving, you know, giving people a second chance to make it in. You know, the ones who, of course, like anything else, you know, everything comes with a price. You know, salvation doesn't cost you anything, but you got to give up everything. You got to gain Christ, you got to lose yourself. You know, to lose yourself, which simply means it's no longer the things that you desire, but the things that he desires for our life. So you have to, if you, you know, to save your life, you have to lose it. You have to give up your life. You know, it's what it is. It is what it is. You know, God wants to know who's for him and who's against him. You know, who's for me? Who's on the Lord's side? You know, who's on the Lord's side? It's a matter of, you know, what do you stand for? And it's, what are you going to stand up for? Either you stand up for righteousness or you fall for whatever. And people who don't stand for anything, they fall for anything. But if you stand up for Christ, then you gain all and you, you know, but if you don't stand up, you stand to lose everything. You know, so we bless the Lord. We bless his holy and righteous name for making a way, for giving us choices. Seriously, you're either for him or you are against him. It's just that simple. You know, you can't live saved and unsaved. You can't live in two worlds. You know, we either come over and serve the Lord, or you do whatever you need to do until you're ready to serve the Lord. Amen? God has got to be first, people of God. He's got to be first. It has to be about him. You know, it has to be about Christ. You can't, you know, there's certain positions that we have to take. You know, certain things don't even become a question. You know, we got to know who we are and whose we are. Amen? The abomination and the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. And then what we don't understand, after the middle of the week, not only do we have problems because of what's going on the world scene in terms of the one world order, but now we have the judgments that are poured out on the earth, the judgment that God, the vow judgments, there's seven vow judgments, there's seven trumpet judgments. And when these judgments are pouring out, when the angels pour out these judgments on the earth, we're talking about great, you know, the world goes through all kinds of gyrations, like a drunk man. I mean, the earth is shaking out of its place. Mountains are shifting back and forth. I mean, all kinds of pestilence. Those things, those plagues that were poured out on Egypt, they're poured out on the earth. You know, the sun refused to shine, the moon turned, you know, all these things, fire and brimstone raining down from above. You know, the pit is open, hell is open, and there are forces that are released on the earth that come in and prey on the flesh of men. I mean, we're talking about a time that Jesus says, he called it the Great Tribulation, a time like such has never been before. You know, we're not trying to scare anybody, but the reality is, you know, we're talking about the judgments, you know, the vile judgments that are poured out on this earth and the devastation, even to the place where death is removed from the earth. There's a time period like 6-7 months where a man can't die. You know, literally walking around with his head over here and part of his body over there, and he can't die because death has been removed from the earth. Man goes to the mountain and asks them, the mountain, to hide them from the face of God. You know, we're talking about, you know, something that is unimaginable, beyond human understanding and comprehension. You know, famine and pestilence and great earthquakes and devastation. You know, the world is going to be a very unlivable place. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. After the middle of the week, there's 3.5 years. Of course, man's extremities has always been God's opportunity. Man's extremity. When man runs out of things to do, he always turns back to God and look up and call on the name of God. So, you know, all of these things happen so that man would cry out. Of course, this also, like anything else, moves things in a strategic way, you know, for the destruction of the Antichrist toward the end of the week, or the 7-year tribulation, for the battle, the final devastation and destruction of the Antichrist and the one world order. The whole system is destroyed. The ten-toed kingdom is destroyed. Or everybody who receives the mark of the beast, you know, they're drawn to a place called Megiddo or the Battle of Armageddon, where the whole system, including the Antichrist and Satan, is bound for 1,000 years. You know, the false prophet. You know, all of these things are destroyed at the end of the week, at the end of the 7-year tribulation. The system is destroyed. The end of the age. You know, when the church is raptured, the dispensation of grace is ended. But God has a second chance or another chance to make it in, for people to make it in, you know, to make it in. The ultimate goal of a church person or a saved person is to see Jesus. You know, your ultimate goal is to see Jesus. You know, what else is more important than to see Jesus? So God makes a way of escape. You know, he makes a way of escape. The dispensation of grace, people are saved by grace through faith, not a work. He said, any man should boast. When the church was established on the day of Pentecost, God extended grace. You know, he extended grace and mercy. He wanted to save many alive. So he extended grace to us. It's amazing how we ignore or people reject the grace of God. You know, just don't want it. Salvation is a gift. You know, God gave the world Jesus. And he said, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever thirsts of the water of life, let him drink. But it's a gift that he gives us. Whosoever will, let him come. You know, whosoever thirsts, come all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Salvation is a gift. It was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, it was purchased by the blood. There can be no remissions of sin except there first be a shedding of blood. So he shed his blood, the remissions of sin. You know, yes, he didn't have to do it, but he did. And God was well pleased with his sacrifice. Well pleased with the sacrifice. The blood of Jesus was taken up, sprinkled on the mercy seat. You know, the blood paid the price for our redemption, redeemed us from all of our sins. You know, God's grace is sufficient. You know. So we thank God for his finished work. When we accept Jesus, God accepts us. Amen. You know, you have to make him Lord of your life. You have to crown him Lord and make him Lord of your life. You know, it's all about him. You know, pick up your cross and follow me daily. There is a cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? The Bible says no. He who come after me first, let him deny himself and pick up this cross and follow me daily. And then, so we all have a cross. Jesus had to suffer, so we have to suffer. Then arm yourself likewise with the same mind. He who suffered in the flesh shall cease from sinning. So we all have a cross to bear. And it's at the cross where he took us in. It all begins at the foot of the cross. It all begins. Nothing separates the sinner from the cross. Nothing. Nothing stands between the sinner and the cross. Freely come and kneel. You know, make our request known unto God. But we have to make him Lord and Savior. Amen. So we bless the Lord. Bless his holy and righteous name. You know, God gives us a second chance. He's constantly extending his hand to us. He's constantly pleading with us over and over to, you know, get it right. You know, fix this. And get it right. Get it right. You know, he's constantly pleading that to us. You know, he's constantly showing us his goodness and his kindness. He says, with loving kindness have I drawn. You think that God has to be good to us? You think he has to do anything? No, he doesn't. But he's compelled to do it because of the love that he has for the creation, the love that he has for us. We are made a little lower than angels, crowned with glory. You know, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou art, you know, what is man? Why is God concerned about humans? You know, he made us in his image and in his likeness and crowned us with glory and dominion. He gave us dominion over the works of his hands, his crown of glory. Lower than the angels, but he made us. Constantly trying to make a way for us, trying to be a friend. Amen? So we bless his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good. He's good to us. He's good to us. And he wants to see everybody make it. He wants to see everybody make it in. And, you know, the church, again, doesn't go for the tribulation. You know, the people that are already in the Lord, when they die, they go to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But we here on the earth, those that are alive, you know, we have to be concerned about this. You know, we have to be concerned about what happens. You know, we are living in the end time. The time and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself, no purpose. You know, the time is going to be like a moment and a twinkling of the eye. You know, you don't have time to get right. We have to be on the Lord's side. We have to be right. We have to be in a position of constant readiness. We have to be watching and ready. If you're not waiting and watching and praying and anticipating, you know, if you're not in a place, you know, in the place, in the right place, in the right frame of mind, you know, the rapture can occur, and we will just simply miss it. And then if you miss it and you're alive here, then you're going to go through this thing called the tribulation. You know, this is not a fun thing. This is no pretty thing. This is, the Bible is letting us know, you know, this is going to be, you know, it is a judgment. Again, the judgment is really against Israel for their denial and rejection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, God gives them a second chance, but the whole world experienced this thing called the tribulation. Again, in the middle of the week, we have something that is called the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. And he tells them, Jesus is talking to the Jews, he tells them to flee. You know, he's already got a place prepared for them, so he tells them to leave Jerusalem and flee to the mountains. Petra, stone city, place that's already prepared for Israel, place that is already prepared. I'm going to read this, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city, to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. I'm going to read that again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the walls, even the troublesome times, and after 72 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifices and the oblations to cease, and for the overspread of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determines shall be poured upon the desolation. The Messiah was cut off at the 69th week. There was 1 week in the balance. 69th week, the Messiah was cut off. There was 1 week in the balance, the 70th week. The 70th week, of course, he told you that the church has to be removed from the world. You know, the church was developed at the 69th week on the day of tribulation, the day of Pentecost. The church was birthed. The Holy Spirit appeared. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. 120 was in the upper room of one accord, and the Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, fell upon them with cloven tongues of fire. And they began to speak with other tongues that the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Peter admonished them and said, this was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in latter days that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. They shall dream dreams, have visions. Old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall have visions. The church was established on the day of Pentecost. The Messiah was cut off at the 69th week. There was 1 week in the balance called the tribulation. Again, the one world order is in place to put the man of sin in power, the Antichrist. 7 years. 7 years. And in the middle of the week, he breaks the treaty with Israel. The treaty is broken. The covenant is signed for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, of 3.5 years, the covenant is broken. Let's read it again. The covenant remaining for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice. Listen to what he's saying. Cause the sacrifices to cease and the oblations to cease. And for the overspread of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determination shall be poured upon the desolate. And after 72 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, 69th week. And for and not for himself, and for the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood upon the end of the war. Desolation are determined. 3.5 years, the treaty is broken. He desecrates the temple. He desecrates the temple. Oblations and sacrifice are made to see. The Jews are very ritualistic people. So they've been made to, of course, stop going to the temple to worship on the Sabbath. Sabbath keepers. And there's about, there's desolation, there's oblation, the sacrifices of sea. And Jesus said to them, when you see this, don't come down off the housetop. And you pray that your flight be not in winter or be with the child, but to flee. Amen. This is a serious thing. Of course, God doesn't want us to go through the tribulation, but we got to be ready. We got to take our focus off of the things of this world and begin to focus on the things of God. We got to get to the back in that place. Holiness is still right. Living the life. Living the life that God has called us to. It's still our place in this warfare and this. It's still up to us to do what God has called us. What God has purposed in us to do. He works the will and the do for his good purpose, the thing that he's already predestined for our life. So it's up to us to surrender. It's up to us to seek his face. It's up to us to do what thus saith the Lord. It's up to us. This modern-day Christian, and we got this modern-day form of salvation, where, grace has been stretched beyond the limits, Still got to live sanctified. Still got to live holy. God called us to holiness, sanctification. He called us to this way of life. So we just thank God that there's some saints out there, some few faithful saints that love him. Love him beyond anything that we can imagine. They love him and sacrifice their life for him. And give him their heart, So we thank God for it. We don't want to be left here when the church is raptured. This time that we're living in, this end time, which is serious time that we're living in. We don't want to be left here, to have to go through the tribulation. It's going to be a time like it's never been before. The first 3 weeks, war, and the apocalypse horsemen, the four horsemen, pairs on a white horse, a black horse, and a red horse, and a pale horse. There's war, there's pestilence, there are all kinds of starvation, hardships here on the earth. But in the middle of the week, under the sixth seal, again, we see the judgments of God being poured out on the earth. Jesus called it the Great Tribulation. I want you to hear this, church. I want you to hear what I'm talking about. Great Tribulation, such as never been seen before. So we thank God for the Word of God. We're going to stop here. We thank God for the Word of God. The Word of God. Light that shines in darkness. And darkness apprehended it not. The Word is on record. This is his prophetic word. These are things to come in the near future. In the near future. So we bless the Lord for his word. We bless God for the hearers of the word. Amen. We're going to stop here. There might be some questions about something that we ministered or talked about today. And we're going to stop here and see if there be any questions. If there be no questions, then we're going to pray and bid you good night. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of truth, that has come to unveil and reveal to us the Word of God and of the concerns that he would have us to understand and to know. We're grateful for the Word on record that gives us wisdom, that gives us knowledge and understanding. We're grateful for it. We're grateful, God, that there is hope even now. There's hope in the hopeless situation. God, you provided even grace and the more grace and the more mercy to get your people in a place where they hear and understand and do the will of God, that they too can be saved. Father, we are grateful for this. Realize the working hands of mercy, the working hands of mercy extended to us. You know, we're not so ignorant to think that it's been because we've been so good or you know, we've been so faithful. It's simply your mercy. We want to thank you and bless you, God, for your loving kindness, for your compassion. We just ask, God, that you would talk and deal with the hearts of sinful man everywhere, that you would turn the hearts of men back to God, that the power of the Holy Ghost would draw and speak to man's heart, that they would turn, that there would be a turning, God. We cry out for family members everywhere, the loss, the destitute. We ask, God, that you fix it, that you give grace and mercy to them, that they too will escape the wrath of things to come, the wrath of God to come. Without your help, God, we can't and will not make it. We can't make it. We will not make it. So we ask God, we ask you, Lord, to help us in the name of Jesus Christ to make it in. We ask God that you bless in a very special way. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless us, God, and we shall be blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that you would help us now in a very special way. The time is short. Time is at hand. Casting off the works of darkness, you know, putting on the armor of light. You know. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we just give it all to you. We extend our hands. We ask you, Lord, to move in a very special way. These and all blessings, Father, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank God, and amen.